Valley Fellowship Church is a Spirit-empowered community of faith in Huntsville, Alabama. We pray that this recording helps you to connect with God and with other people. More resources are available at valleyfellowship.com.
I remember years ago, Miss Linda Tedesco, you were in my office and there was a bad report coming to you and you kept talking and I don't know if you were happy or sad because I just kept smiling. And I remember you kind of interrupted and said, "Pastor Greg, why are you smiling?" And I said, "Because this is not a surprise to God. God's going to take care of this." And He did for you too, Linda. You know, God is a God who works in our life, but sometimes those suddenlies come our way and we are shocked by Him. You ever been shocked by a suddenly coming your way? Things look like they're going great and then suddenly, and it's not just us. It's every person you read about in God's Word. Elisha is one man that went through lots of thought. He saw a lot of high points in his life. But there was a point in his life in 2 Kings chapter 6 where his life suddenly moved from the simplicity of cutting down trees and helping to establish and build onto his school of the prophets and the intricacies of putting together a school for the prophets and even enjoying the supernatural revelation of God where God was whispering to him the secrets of a king so many miles away where all of a sudden in a night he would get up in the morning and suddenly he would be besieged by the army of Aram. Suddenly, let me tell you, suddenlies come. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes at night, health is threatened by sickness, friendship is betrayed by hostility, wealth is challenged by need. There's a moment where your life seems bright and the next morning the prospect seems dark and discouraging. And for Elisha, it could have been that way. But what a picture of Elisha, a man who even in the midst of an army all around him had an understanding of who he was in God and understood that verse that we made a declaration of in worship today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, that is New Testament truth for every one of us. Would you read that aloud with me? It's there on the screen. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Read that last question again. If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at your neighbor and ask them that question. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you, Elisha lives as an example for us of a man who was able to stand up because he knew God was with him. And the prophetic message, the prophetic announcement that Elisha is going to give in 2 Kings chapter 6, and the prophetic release that he's going to pray over that servant who's going to be overwhelmed by the circumstance, I'm praying that that prophetic message speaks to your heart today, and that that prophetic release comes into your spiritual eyes as well, that you will grasp hold to that. I've been on a series for the last several weeks of how we would look and consider, how we would grow, well, we could look and imitate those, the faith of someone else, their faith and their patience, how they inherit what was promised. And I'll go into that a little bit more in depth. Today, though, I really think there's something important about that. We were singing it. Patty asked for it even right there at the end of worship, Surrounded. I was planning on singing that, you know, this is how I fight my battles at the end of service, and we may still do it again. But I know I mentioned it last week, and I actually made comment in 2 Kings chapter 6, that servant who went out and Elisha would speak to him, "Don't you know those who are for us are more than those who are against us?" And I talked to a couple of people during their week, and I was like, I thought that was just kind of a common knowledge story, but when I was bouncing off several people, I was like, "Pastor Greg, I'm not sure what you're talking about with that." And I said, "You know what? That is too good of example in God's Word and the Old Testament for every one of us not to have some understanding of that." And so today, I want to unpack a little bit of that. If you've got your Bible, I hope you'll open it to the Old Testament back in 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 8. We're going to go down through verse 23. We've got Elisha, the prophet of God that God raised up after Elijah. Quite the contrast. You had Elijah, the hairy man, and you've got Elisha, the bald dude, now on the scene. You know, so I'm in the middle. I don't know which one I am. I always prayed I would be Elijah, you know, always prayed it would hold on. I prayed I didn't mind if it was wavy hair so long as it didn't wave goodbye. But, you know, I don't know. I'm in my 50s and more is there. I haven't joined you totally yet, Todd, but I don't know. Sometimes it looks like a halo, people tell me, though. The more and more it comes there, when I stand just right and the light hits me, people are like, "Oh, you looked angelic." And I'm thinking, "Hey, that's great," you know, as they're going out. And they're like, "Yeah, I could see your bald spot shining in a circle." And I was like, "All right, that's not exactly what I was thinking." 2 Kings chapter 6, when the king of Aram, if you've got an older translation, it may say Syria. It's the same nation, just by a different name, Aram. Sometimes we use that name to keep it separated from Assyria, that would be a farther north nation. But the king of Aram was at war with Israel. He would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces in such and such place. But immediately, everybody say immediately. How many of you know that God is never surprised by anything that goes on? And not only is God not surprised, but there are moments where God will speak to you and He'll reveal what the enemy's doing. It doesn't mean you're not going to face some hard stuff in your life. Every one of us is going to face those suddenly moments. But Elisha here is operating in such close relationship with God that when this king up in Damascus, miles and miles away, would whisper something to one of his servants, hey, here's the plan. This is our strategy. We're going to do it. Elisha, it says, immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, it says in verse 10, Elisha warned the king so he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. How many of you know we've got an enemy that wants to be upset? Now, I know New Testament, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it's principalities, powers, rulers of forces and darkness in this heavenly realm, Satan and the fallen angels. I mean, they're our real enemy. People aren't my enemy. But in the Old Testament, the enemy would often use people to come against God's people. And the enemy will often use people to come against us too. Now, we don't want to get in wars and fights like this, but it's amazing. The king of Aram becomes very upset. Some of y'all just need to grasp hold to the fact that sometimes people are going to be upset because of what God's doing in your life. There may even be somebody that you was a good friend of yours whenever you were still drinking and still drugging and still nightclubbing, and all of a sudden now that you're not behaving that way, they'll get very upset with you. They will do their best to try to pull you back down to the level, because every time you live right, every time you live free, you're just testifying to them that there's a change that is available to them, and some people aren't going to be happy with that. Unless they want to have a change in their life, they're going to be looking at you and sometimes be angry. Just go ahead and understand that, but understand that person's not your enemy anyway. You keep on serving and living God, loving God, keep going on. But the king of Aram, it says in verse 11, very upset. He called his officers together. He demanded, which of you is a traitor? Who's been informing the king of Israel? It's not us, my lord the king, one of the officers replied. Elisha the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Whoa. You know, Holy Spirit knows even what you're thinking. It's shocking. Now, there are moments in time where God will reveal that to someone. I know sometimes people are kind of intimidated to go meet with my wife, Miss Patty, or, you know, meet with my mom. In fact, Pastor Will, I think he's over in Children's Church today, he talks about one of the first interviews he had, and he was so, you know, built up. He had heard, I've been talking about how sensitive they were, that every time he'd walk in, he was thinking, flowers, flowers, flowers. I'm just thinking about flowers. You know, let me tell you, you don't have to be walking in fear. God's not going to reveal your thoughts to someone else unless there really is hope, there's something, there is a reason for it. And even if God does reveal it, one of the things that comes with maturity is that, you know, lots of times what God reveals isn't supposed to be talked about, it's supposed to be prayed about. It's someone who's going to pray and intercede and stand in the gap for you. But you know, these guys, they're unhappy, right? Go and find out where he is, the king says. I'm going to send troops to seize him. I always think that's amazing. The guy who knows whatever he says, how are you going to surprise him? All right, but the report comes back. Elisha's in Dothan. All right, so he's about 7 miles north of the capital of Israel, Samaria. Pretty strategic location militarily. Sits there on the edge of the Jezreel plain. So one night, verse 14, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city of Dothan, not Alabama, but Dothan in northern Israel. Well, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, now you've got to grab a hold to this. When had the enemy come in? At nighttime, right? You know, when does the enemy love to come in? At darkness. It really is. It's amazing how he loves to come in. But during the night, the enemy encircled. While the servant slept, the enemy moved into position. And early in the morning, the servant awakes, not realizing what waits outside. He comes walking outside the servant, and suddenly he's filled with terror, consternation, panic. I mean, he scrambles inside. He's shouting the alarm. He's wringing his hands, as I said last week, or 2 weeks ago. Wringing of hands is a decidedly human characteristic. God never wrings his hands. He's never worried. He never is thinking, what am I going to do now? I wasn't expecting that. God already knows. He never works with experimentation. He always has a plan. And Paul writes and says, God is faithful to finish the good work he's begun in us. Aren't you thankful that work he's doing us? We're like, we're going to try this. God doesn't say, I'm going to try this. He's already got a plan in mind. But this servant didn't know that plan. The chariots are around him. He gets up and he runs in. It says in verse 15 to Elisha, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" The young man cried to Elisha. But all of a sudden, without terror in Elisha's face, no panic in his expression, no discomfort apparent, even in the face of this startling news that an army was surrounding the entire city, with great calmness, courage, and confidence, Elisha said, "Don't be afraid." Say that. Say, "Don't be afraid." Elisha told him, "For there are more on our side than there are on theirs." Would you read that? "For there are more on our side than there are on theirs." I'll look at that again. "For there are more on our side than on theirs." I'm reading the New Living Translation. That's not the one I memorized that in, but that's fun. It's easy to read. The servant had been living by sight, but by faith, Elisha could see into the heavenlies, and he understood that those who were with him were more than those who were against him. You see, there was something different. There was something different. Now, this is not the end of the story. I love, as you read through this story, what's going to take place. Again, "Don't be afraid" is there. "There are more with us than those who are against us." Let me find my place. I'm up to verse 17. "Then Elisha prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes, let him see.' And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillsides around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire." Wow. Wow. Truly, our Lord is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of heaven's armies. God by himself is greater than all angels put together. But I want you to know there's at least twice as many angels still on God's side as there are angels that fell from with demons. And all this devil is a fallen angel. Yes, he may have more power than us on our own, but we're never on our own. We are connected with God, and there are more with us than there are with them. I do not have to fear the forces of evil. I don't have to fear the intimidation of a man. I don't have to fear the intimidation of a woman. I don't have to fear the intimidation of a culture. I can live knowing that greater is inside of me than anything I face in the world. 1 John 4:4, that I'm able to overcome, and it's my strength. I have faith in that. I'm going to overcome. Yes, I'm going to have trouble in this world, Jesus said, but be of good cheer, he said. I've overcome the world. Elisha prayed for him. Elisha prayed for him. Now, I want to go on with this story, but I want to go ahead and just grab hold to this. In verse 16 and verse 17, you need to grasp hold to this. First of all, there was a prophetic message. It came out with those first words, "Fear not." Very common message throughout God's word. Ever notice that? There's a prophetic message. He said, "Fear not." Right? Look at verse 16. "There are more on our side than are on yours." So number one, if you're taking notes, put this down. The prophetic message is this: cancel the alarm. Cancel the alarm. You want to put that up for them so that they know what I'm talking about? Mr. Frank, you can put up that. There's big number one. The prophetic message. Scroll down a little bit. Cancel the alarm. Any of y'all ever gone and forgotten for just a second to turn off an alarm when you go into a building? Ever done that? Now, I got to tell you, we've got a great alarm system here. We really do. But every once in a while, now it doesn't happen very often, thankfully, every once in a while, I'll get this panic call. And I'm not going to call out anybody's names as I'm looking around at some of y'all who have... I'm not looking at anyone. Every once in a while, I'll get this panic call because, you know, if you come in and you set the alarm off, how many of y'all know it is very obvious when the burglar alarm in this building goes off, right? Some of y'all have been in there. And, I mean, it is very... Those horns are in good spots, apparently. You step in there, the alarm starts going, and even if you weren't terrified and you were totally at peace, when that thing goes off, you're like... I mean, your blood pressure rises, you know. And it's amazing. And again, I'm not pointing at anybody in here, But I've had these people who, whenever that thing, I don't know if it's the sound of the alarm. I mean, they've been trained. Some of them, the card is in their wallet or it's in their purse. I mean, they know, here's the number to call to say it's a false alarm. Here's the thing you put in. And if all else falls, call Pastor Greg. But I've had several people, it took them a minute or two. I've already gotten a call from the alarm company saying, the alarm's going off, you know, and I'm like, no one's supposed to be, and I'm trying to decide, do I send the police now, you know, and they're like, they got the police on the way, unless you cancel, you know, what's the code, what's your name, what are you doing? And I would be like, no, I think Miss Erica's supposed to be walking in the building right now. Oh, no, I think it's my mom walking in the building right now. Maybe it's Miss Lana. Could that be Pastor Will? I'm not sure. You know, and pretty soon, here's my cell phone. It starts flashing, and here's this person. And, Mom, I'll use you just for example. Not that it was you who ever did it. But just for example, just pretend. Mom says I can use her. Okay. Mom will call, and she'll be like, Greg, the alarm's going off, and I can't remember what the code is. You ever had that happen before? The sound of the alarm terrifies you. The sound of the alarm. This first part of that you've got to grasp hold of this in verse 16. He's saying, fear not. God's with us. There's more with us than those who are with them. Let me tell you, some of y'all, when we sing that song, Surrounded, I'm Surrounded by You, this takes new meaning when you understand this story. But some of y'all need to grasp hold of that the alarm has been canceled through Christ Jesus. Because God's on your side. Doesn't mean the enemy's not still there. Doesn't mean the diagnosis still isn't on the horizon. It doesn't mean there's not something still coming against your kids. I want you to know we live in a culture that is totally trying to grasp and steal and really destroy a generation of kids because of the proliferation of pornography, open access to it. We've got so many kids. I don't know what parents are doing. Third and fourth grade, they've got telephones, their smartphones, they have unfiltered internet access, and the parents are letting them take it with them to bed. What do you think kids are looking at? Oh, they only look at good stuff. I know. Let me tell you, we work with a lot of kids over the years, and if you've got a teenager and you're letting them have unfiltered internet access in their bedroom at night when you're not monitoring it, you are acting very foolishly. And you are allowing the door to have a big open door. We've got so many kids that are already tormented with the images, with the stuff. Oh, well, they would never look at that, even if they are unintentionally doing it. Don't give unfiltered, unsupervised access to your kids. They are not ready for the stuff that's on there. All right, I'm coming back over here. But even with that whole thing surrounding about, there's times where you could look at it and say, this is overwhelming. What can I do? My kids are going to grow up to be drug addicts and porn addicts. And, you know, what am I going to do? I'm here with a prophetic message for you today. Just like Elisha had a prophetic message for that servant. He went out, he surveyed. There it was. He came running back in screaming. He's on full tilt mode, panic mode. Ah! And what was Elisha's message? Cancel the alarm. You ever had a panic attack before? Paddock, you had one. Very unusual. I can't go the whole details, but I'm in class at ORU, Masters, and our alarm system, you know, we got an alarm system at our house, and so there's one night you got a phone call. I probably should let you tell your own story. If you want me to tell your story, I'll tell it. Here's the night. She gave it to me to tell. All right. So hopefully I can do this. All right. I don't even know what time it was. 11 o'clock? 10 o'clock? I don't know. Midnight. All right, I was in bed because I was in class at ORU. So this is Monday, Tuesday night or something like that. I'm in class at ORU, and I get this phone call. And apparently, here's what's going on. Patty has just gotten a phone call not very long ago from some lady saying Steve is on his way. She's been having an affair with somebody's husband or wife or whatever. I don't know how the whole thing went. Nobody she knew, and Steve is on the way, and goes into great graphic detail of what he's about to do to you and all the crazy things. He's going to burst in. He's coming for you, right? And Patty's like, who are you? I don't know you, you know, whatever. You know, and you hang up on the phone on her, hang up the phone. Just as she hangs up the phone, our burglar alarm starts going off. Literally within a second, I put it down. So all of a sudden, what's going on? Patty's heart starts beating fast. You really are having a bit of a panic attack, aren't you? You're thinking Steve is breaking in the door because that's obviously, right? You know, I don't even know who Steve is, but apparently Steve is breaking the door. And so, Patty, you talked about how you're kind of going back and forth down the hall. What do I do? What do I do? You know, your baby is in the bedroom. Am I defending? What do I grab a knife? What do I do? And so she calls me in Tulsa. So I remember waking up, and she's like, honey, the alarm's going off, and, you know, I think someone just made a threat, and all this stuff's going on. And I just remember, honey, I'm in Tulsa. why don't you call the police? You know, call someone there. And now for me, was it a little bit easier for me? A little bit of distance. Now, I got to tell you, I was a bit concerned. My wife, my babies were there. But at the same time, there was nothing I could do. You ever been to one of those spots? I mean, sometimes you can take the panic on for someone else. And I could have at that moment, but it wasn't going to do me any good. I was like, honey, you're going to have to call someone there. You know, call. Please call a policeman, do whatever, you know. And but no one, it was just, what ended up happening? We'll go short story. The police did come. The lady misdialed our number by one, so she was trying to dial someone else. But the police, you know, had this fancy thing called caller ID, like show up at her house just a little bit later because Patty's, now the police came, they're like, here's a death threat. So whoever, that death threat didn't get to be delivered or in person anyway because the police showed up anyway, and they came back and told you later, she wasn't trying to call you, it was trying to call someone. What was going on? Let me tell you, the enemy had set up this whole situation for her to get a call and then set up what had went on. We had a sensor that happened to malfunction at that very second she got that. So our alarm company came in. They're like, this doesn't happen. These things are supposed to last 20 years, but this one just broke. We don't know what happened, you know, at that very... What was going on? The enemy is set up, and Patty, all of a sudden you had a little bit of a panic attack. And sometimes when you're in that thing, it's like, let me tell you. Here's the prophetic message, every one of you. I don't know if it's regarding your kids that you're feeling a sense of panic about, your job situation, a diagnosis in your family or in your body, you know, some relationship issues that are going on. Here's a prophetic word for you. Cancel the alarm. God is still greater. Those who are with you are greater than those who are against you. And secondly, here's what I'm believing for. What did Elisha say to that servant? He said, I'm going to pray. And he says, I pray you'd open your eyes. There's a prophetic release. What was the prophetic release? Open the eyes that you would recognize that God is greater than those things that you're saying. So number one, the prophetic message, cancel the alarm. Number two, the prophetic release, open the eyes. And we're getting ready to make that declaration of open the eyes. In fact, in just a minute, I want to go through the rest of this story real quickly. Look at some other verses here. But in just a couple minutes, we're going to sing that song again, Surrounded. And I'm going to actually have my wife come up. And while we're singing that song, she's going to be leading that prayer because she was kind of doing it already beforehand, but leading that prayer to open the eyes. So again, I want you to already be thinking about it. Do you need your eyes open to see God greater than something going on in your life right now? Some of y'all are sitting there and thinking right now, oh, I can handle this on your own. Well, if you can handle it on your own and you're not trusting God, you can be just like King Asa that Sister Carol talked about last week, and you can sit out there today and you cannot respond to this call, this invitation to have your eyes open to see God's greater power, and God will let you just have that foot fungus just as long as you want to, even to the point of your death, just like He did, King Asa. Or you can respond and say, you know what, I'm not against doctors, I'm not against medicine, but my faith's still in God too. Let me tell you, there's something going to be taking place. There's going to be a prophetic release with that prayer, even as we're playing and singing it. All right, we're not quite done though, because there's more stuff. I just want you to grab hold of this. Let's go back into that story, just because I like it. He tells him that the Lord opens the young man's eyes. Verse 18, as the Aramean army advanced toward Elisha, Elisha prayed. Listen, here's another prayer. Lord, please make him blind. The same God that can open spiritual eyes can close physical eyes. And they're physical eyes of perception. So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. This isn't the only example of that. We've got literal blindness being struck by a sorcerer who came against Paul. And I could go through it. Never mind. We won't go there. I don't have time. Here we go. Verse 19. Then Elisha went out. And I love this story. He told the army, you've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me. And I'll take you to the man you're looking for. Who's the man they're looking for? Just follow me. I'm going to take you to... Yeah, you're going to be exactly where I am when I take you to where I am. Yeah, there you go. And he leads them. 7 miles they're walking behind this bald-headed dude. Don't you know? The sun's shining. It's reflecting. They're walking through the city gates of Samaria. Verse 20, as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha now prays, Lord, open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they discovered they were in the middle of Samaria, the capital of the enemy they were at. The king of Israel comes in verse 21 and he shouts to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? Of course not, Elisha said. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast for them, and then he sent them home to their master. And after that, verse 23, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Let me tell you, when you've got a prophetic message that God's on your side, and you've got a prophetic release that your eyes are open, all of a sudden stuff starts happening that just doesn't make sense in the natural. All of a sudden people can't see stuff that they should be able to see, and they do see stuff that they can't. I'm praying like Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Let me tell you, that prophetic release is going to release three things in your sight this morning. Hope, riches, power. Hope, riches, power. When Patty begins to pray that prayer, and you're going to be, all who want to have that prayer up here, there's going to be a release. Look at that, Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. What kind of power is it? Going on to verse 19 and 20, that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right at His right hand in the heavenly realms. What was the secret of this confidence that Elisha had? It was God's presence with him. What was the cause of the servant's fear? It was the enemy's presence. What was the confidence of Elisha built upon? The Lord's presence. The Lord's presence. You see, that's the key. That's the key. All of a sudden, when your eyes get open that God is with you, it changes the situation. It changes the circumstance. The panic that was upon you was like, whoa, I can handle this. Why? Because God is with me. You can be like the psalmist. I know Sammy read from several things on here. Let me just read some more stuff the psalmist said. How about this? Psalm 31:20. You will hide them, talking about that righteous person, talking about the godless person, the person who God fears, those seeking refuge in Him. Verse 20, you will hide them in the secret of your presence. I love that. In the secret of your presence. That's a shelter. That's a quiet place, the hidden place. You'll hide them in the secret of your presence from conspirators. You will keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Wow. Psalm 56, verse 3, King James. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Some people say that's the greatest promise you can have, right? There's a verse for you. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. D.L. Moody had a lady one come to him and said, I found the greatest verse in the Bible. It's this one right here. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And D.L. Moody said, well, I got one that's even better. Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Certainly God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. Let me tell you, it's both on there. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And I will not be fearful because I'm trusting in God. Let me read to you Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, Amplified. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace whose mind is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Let me tell you real quickly, God's presence is with his people. But God's presence with his people is not generally realized by human opponents. The Arameans, they were unaware. They were even unaware that they were blinded. There's a point for you. Number one, God's presence is with his people, but that God's presence is not generally realized by human opponents. Number two, God's presence with his people is not always realized by many of his people. Was the servant one of God's people? Yeah, he was at the school of the prophets. Elisha was his teacher. He's a servant. He's right there. He's in the middle of it. But he still didn't recognize it was there. But listen, finally this. God's presence with his people is readily realized by those who draw near to him. God says, I'm with you. The psalmist would say in Psalm 118, verse 6 and 7, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Hebrews would quote from that in Hebrews 13, 6. Verse 7 says, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Joshua and Caleb came back from surveying the land that God had promised to them. And 10 of the spies were like, we can't do this. We can't do this. And Joshua and Caleb were like, guys, we can do it. Here's what they said in Numbers 14 and verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Hezekiah, whenever Sennacherib and the huge Assyrian army was coming and threatening Jerusalem, he would go and he would speak to the people. In the 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 and 8, here's part of his message. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. For with him is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And what does it say? The people gained confidence. Today, you're going to leave here with a greater sense of confidence. If you respond up here and you're coming forward and you're saying, God, I'm believing your message. I'm canceling the alarm. I'm going to walk in a sense of peace. I'm going to put my mind trusting in you. And I'm receiving that release. Lord, open my eyes that I could see that you are with me. And greater are you inside of me than anything I face in the world. Give me that hope. Give me those riches. And Lord, give me that power in my life. God would even speak to Jeremiah at one point in Jeremiah 1:19. He says, they'll fight against you, but they'll not prevail against you. For I am with you. I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Elisha, one man for whom the armies of the king of Aram held no terror. One man whom difficulties brought him little dismay. That man who lived so near to God realized that God really was near to him. Elisha possessed the calm of a believer, the composure of someone banking on the sufficiency of God's resources. So let me tell you, I'm concluding with this, final three big points. With God, let me tell you, with God, number one, make sure you're on God's side. With God, you can surmount great difficulties, you can brave terrible dangers, you can withstand overwhelming adversity, you can accomplish incredible tasks, but it's good to be on God's side, so make sure you're on God's side. If you've never surrendered control of your life to Jesus Christ, you ought to do that right now. I'm going to invite Tom and Diana, if they just come right over there. I'm going to invite Daryl and Randy, if they just be on the side right there. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, I just invite you to come and talk to them. They want to pray with you. Y'all, guys, quickly, y'all just come right there. Make sure you're on God's side. In a time of danger or trouble, a great many people, they're not sure. Is God on my side or not? If you're not sure you're part of God's family, why don't you respond? Talk to one of these right now. If you want to have this unspeakable advantage of God's presence with you in time of difficulty or danger, the most important question you need to ask yourself is, am I on God's side? All right? And if you say, I'm not sure, then I want you to respond. What does that do? Number one, make sure you're on God's side. The rest of us, we're reminding ourselves. Have you prayed and given your life to Jesus? Do you recognize God's on your side? You recognize, if you're living in sin, you're backslidden. And you're like, I'm not sure if God would come through on my side. Well, then you need to repent. Receive the forgiveness of God. But number two, undertake great things for God. Once this prophetic revelation and this prophetic message is received, undertake things knowing that you have the unlimited resources of God with you. Don't be ashamed of the inexhaustible treasure of divine grace that's now available to you. And number three, resist being depressed by difficulties. I'm not telling you it won't be your natural response to have something inside of you. Just like Patty, when the alarm goes off after a death threat, you're like, whoa! But do your best to resist it. Why? Let courage rise with danger. Let courage rise with danger. Let courage rise with danger. You know what? I'm just going to have to pause for just a second. Patty, as you're coming, can we just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit? Can you stand to your feet? In just a second, we're going to start singing that song again. And when Patty's ready, she's going to tell you to respond and come. When you're ready to come, you know, whenever she makes that call, y'all respond. Can you just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit right now? Hallelujah. Lord, I'm first praying for that release.
Right now, as your hearts are bowed and your eyes are closed and you're focused on God, I want you to think about what is the thing that is the biggest threat in my life or my family's life right now. What is that thing? Go ahead and identify it in your mind and your heart. Is it your well-being? Is it a health report that looks like it might be a chronic thing your whole life? Is it a sense of loneliness that you don't see ever ending? Is it because maybe your eyes have been drawn in by pornography and you feel such a swallowing, overcoming addiction that you are completely overwhelmed? Is it because you have children that are not walking with Jesus and you know you planted the word in them, you knew you raised them right, and it looks hopeless except God? Is it an insurmountable debt that it looks like, will you ever get out of this debt? What is that thing? Is it a spouse? Is it a child? Is it a job? Is it a personal issue you have emotionally? You're broken and you wonder, will I ever get over that mistake? just picture what that thing is, whatever it is. And now, as I pray over you, I didn't know I was going to pray. I didn't know Greg was going to ask me to pray even earlier. It was just by the Spirit. And maybe that touched some people in that moment. But right now, before you leave, you need to be touched. You need to sense that there's a spirit of agreement in this house on your behalf. And as the pastors and elders, we are in agreement with you right now that God is going to open up your eyes to see that He is bigger, to see that He is stronger, and to see that He is able, to see that He is all-powerful, Lord of hosts. Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that there's an anointing being released right now upon every person in this place. And I ask, God, that you would move by your Spirit into every life, into every situation, into every family. And I ask you to peel back the scales which really represent the lies of the enemy, the fear-binding lies. And God, I pray you would break to asunder every lie that the enemy has spoken. I speak over you, you shall see the truth, and you will walk in truth, and you will walk in the greater reality of God's ability to turn around the real situations in your life. God, I ask you would cancel out debt. I ask you would save our lost family members. I ask, Jesus, you would heal broken hearts and emotions and minds. I ask that you would restore our bodies, God, down to the nerve levels, down to the individual cell levels. God, I thank you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. May you see it with your eyes and the eyes of your Spirit, that God is bigger. God is greater. Hallelujah. Come to the altar if you want to just meet with God. Come to the altar and just make a declaration. And as we sing this, it's so powerful to say it. Listen, I walked through a week you would not believe. I felt like I've been in the trenches this week. And on Wednesday night I said, I'm here, but I feel like I'm covered with dirt because I've been having bombs go off all around me. And I'm here, but by the grace of God. And let me tell you, as I got here and I began to get with the fellowship of believers and I began to make declarations, my faith was encouraged. My heart was lifted up. My strength started coming back. And you're going to start literally feeling better. You're going to start feeling better. Father, I just thank you. We open up these altars and we make this declaration that we will see like you want us to see. For Lord, greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. There are more for us, Lord God, than any that are against us. Father, we thank you and we pray.
Thank you for connecting with us today. I hope you were encouraged by this recording. I'm Greg Simon, pastor of Valley Fellowship. More resources and more information about our church are available at valleyfellowship.com. We invite you to come and join us for worship. See for yourself how exciting church can be as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together.